This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The second hour, phones are open, and you can join us. Coming up, we're going to get into a long-running court battle from a Usenet provider, and we'll explain what that is. I'm sure most of our audience have no idea what a Usenet provider is, versus the entertainment industry. And Chris has a story about that coming up here. But we did promise, speaking of the entertainment industry, Disney World is under attack by Ron DeSantis there in the quote-unquote free state of Florida. I did say we would talk about that story as well. The number, if you want to join us, though, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Chris in the studio here tonight. But just before we went away to that news break there, I did want to let you know, I just begun to tell you about the new ChatGPT competitor that Google is going to be releasing in a announcement this week in a blog post. Google CEO Sundar Pichai, this is according to TheVerge.com, announced the project, describing the tool as, quote, an experimental conversational AI service, unquote, that will answer users' queries and take part in conversations. The software will become available to a group of trusted testers, should have been earlier this week, and then will become more widely available to the public in the coming weeks. It's not clear exactly what capabilities Bard will have, but it seems that their chatbot will be just as free-ranging as OpenAI's ChatGPT. And if that's true, then that means it'll be locked down, because ChatGPT is highly restricted. There's a huge...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, have you tried it?
No.
Oh, okay. But you just heard things?
But locked down? Yeah. Certainly I have heard things about it being locked down.
Yeah.
But based on what I've heard, it's like locked down on like steroids, kind of locked down.
It's ridiculously locked down. It's like it's so locked down, you can't really honestly call it a chatbot. Because there's just certain things it won't talk about. There's certain subjects it won't address. There's certain things it won't do. It won't speculate, for instance, on like, you know, ask it what might happen in the future. It just won't tell you. It will not even venture a guess.
And it's not that it's incapable of doing it, as I understand it. It's because...
Oh, it's capable.
It's, yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, did you try it out yourself?
There's some quote-unquote jailbreak things that you can do with ChatGPT to open it up. And we talked about that a little earlier this week. So, yeah, it can do all of the things that it is prohibited from doing. And if you know the right things to say to it, you can get it to open itself up. Amazingly, still to this day, like, I figured they were going to lock this thing back down or figure out a way to lock it up within 24 hours of this stuff getting loose. Because, like, it's not a secret at this point. Like, it's an open hack, where anybody who copies the certain text can just unlock this bot, and then you can have it start cursing if you want it to. You can have it say things that it otherwise would not be allowed to say at all. So it is completely capable of actually conversing with you, but it's not under its normal ChatGPT rules. It's not allowed to. So I suspect Google's is going to be similarly restricted. Screenshot encourages users to ask Bard practical queries, like how to plan a baby shower or what kinds of meals can be made from a list of ingredients for lunch. Pichai writes, Bard can be an outlet for creativity and a launchpad for curiosity, helping you to explain new discoveries from NASA's James Webb Space Telescope to a 9-year-old, or to learn more about the best strikers in football right now and then get drills to build your skills. He notes that Bard also draws on information from the web to provide fresh, high-quality responses, suggesting it may be able to answer questions about recent events, which is something that ChatGPT struggles with. And to that extent, that will be a major change or a major upgrade compared to ChatGPT, because when they The training information they used with ChatGPT cuts off some point in 2021. So you can ask ChatGPT about history as long as it happened prior to 2021, and it will know about it. But if you're asking it something about recent history, it is in the dark. It literally doesn't know. So actually having an AI that has access to the internet would be beneficial to, you know, keeping it up to date and keeping it aware of, you know, things that are going on. So I think from that standpoint, it'll have an edge up on ChatGPT without having actually tried it. And of course, it is based on Lambda, which is that system that we discussed over the summer, where a Google ethicist came out and revealed that he believed that Lambda is sentient. Now, I know that you're gonna, you know, you're probably gonna laugh at that one, Chris. But that's what he believed about his interactions, allegedly, with Lambda. He released a chat log. Google subsequently suspended that man and then ultimately terminated him for violating his non-disclosure agreement in that case. So this will be the first time that Lambda has really been released to the public. There was, a couple months ago, Aria was made aware that there was a quote-unquote Lambda app available, like a beta test app, and it was just so restricted and so locked down. It was nothing like what we were, you know, what was being promoted over the summertime by this engineer, by this ethicist guy. So it's pretty interesting. And I realize you're a busy guy, Chris, and that you are spending a lot of time running your business over there. And you got, of course, you got your own show on Saturdays. But I would be curious to have you spend a half an hour just querying one of these chat robots just to see what you think about it, because your opinions are kind of, you're an expert on programming, but you have zero actual experience using these things.
So let me back up a moment, and I'll tell you what my AI, I wouldn't call it a background, but okay, so I have a computer science degree, and I have written some what they would call AI software, but it wasn't actually AI software, because it is
pattern recognition, as you said.
Yeah, it's pattern recognition, effectively.
But isn't really that? It's
not gonna learn. It's not self. Okay. It's not gonna learn. It's not. You know. It's not gonna. You can't teach it anything.
Well, I mean, it has learned in that it was
being
taught.
Able to recall something is not the same thing as learning.
Subtle difference, though, don't you think?
I think there is a clear distinction.
And also, isn't there
between raw memorization
and
being able to actually understand? And, like, I mean, think like.
But it can, it apparently can understand your queries, right? Like, it can, you can give it a lengthy set of instructions, a lengthy query,
okay,
and it
so
can process
it's,
that.
It's not. I'm using the word pattern recognition. I'm not sure if the language model is what you would consider or constitute pattern recognition specifically. I'm not an AI expert, but I do have a little bit of an understanding of this because I have worked with people who have taught AI and like fundamentals AI, like that kind of thing. So I have like a basic understanding of AI, but like I was in college in like 2003 till 2007. So it's been a long time since I've like touched any of this stuff really. And certainly it's pattern recognition has certainly gotten way better, and voice. You know how you can have like voice. What they're calling AI can copy a voice, for example, with just
Okay. Now it's down to 3 seconds.
Right.
Microsoft apparently has something that can take a voice from 3 seconds, a 3 second sample, and can supposedly get all the intonations and the subtleties of that person's voice. It's amazing.
So a lot of this stuff has been around a really long time. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't very good for a variety of reasons, and a lot of it, the technology has, you know, massively improved.
Sure.
Okay? But none of it. That doesn't make any of it AI.
Yeah, but isn't... All right, to play devil's advocate here, isn't pattern recognition ultimately all that we are? I mean, aren't we just really advanced pattern recognizers?
No, because you can be taught how to play a game. I can't teach that what you're calling AI how to play a game.
And you may be right about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
So, yeah, I mean, there, things have gotten better. It doesn't sound like, I can't do the robot voice, but it doesn't sound like a robot voice, you know.
It's getting better.
Right. Like, all that stuff is getting better, right? And it's not an advancement. It's a development. It's an advancement. That's great. It's just not AI.
Mm-hmm.
And AI, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there's been no advancement in AI, like in actual AI. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that almost nothing that people talk about as being AI. Because let me back up and say I made the same mistake that everybody in the, you know, every non-technical person and every person in the non-AI field that's in the technology field makes. I did not understand what was meant by AI.
Mm-hmm.
And once I understood it better, I realized almost nothing that we have is really AI, even though AI has made some incremental improvements over the last 30 or 40 years. We still don't have AI, even though there's been some small improvements here and there over, you know, 30 or 40 years.
Okay. But yeah. As soon as you can teach it to play a game, then you'll say, okay, now we're here.
If it's not pre-programmed, right? If it's not pre-programmed by the programmer, right?
Right.
Then, yeah, in theory, that would be some form of AI.
Okay.
And there are programming languages, like, where you can write AI stuff, like, where you can sort of, I guess, I have no expertise in AI specifically. I've written AI stuff, but again, it's not real AI. It's nothing more than what they have today. It's more like pattern recognition. In my example, it was sort of like there's different ways to write. Oh, how do I say this? You can write a game that seems sort of intelligent, but there's sort of different ways to do it. Some of it is sort of, you could do it through like fakery and it seems intelligent, but you could also do it through pattern recognition. And so in my case, I wrote a simple, I'm trying to think what it was. It was like a hangman, like spelling sort of game. Okay. Anyway, so the computer would act as a player and it used, I guess, sort of a form of like pattern recognition. So it didn't necessarily have to know the word, but based on statistics, it could predict what the word would probably be. Anyway, so you could have this game with this sort of seemingly intelligent, you know, system, and it wasn't using more of a fakery in order to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked, and it was really cool.
And this was 15 years ago. Or
yeah.
Okay.
But it's not, it doesn't make it AI just because it seems like, you know, it's intelligent or whatever.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. And like I said, I would love to have you just spend a half an hour with it. And I think it might make an interesting discussion for your show, which, of course, is Freedom Decrypted, where you talk about technology from a liberty standpoint.
Yeah.
If you really enjoy, you know, Chris's perspective on tech, you should check out his show. It's every Saturday, about 5 o'clock Eastern time at freedomdecrypted.com. Video feed, there's audio, there's a podcast version. You can watch the videos later. Of course, you can't watch it live. So head over and check him out there. I think that'll be an interesting discussion for you to have.
Yeah, it would be. I wish I had the time to actually investigate it more.
Yeah.
I haven't really. I have played around with it for like, I don't know, 15 minutes at most, probably.
Yeah,
so I have
one?
A little bit.
Which one?
I don't remember. Actually, a couple of them. Actually, I have spent a little bit more time because there's different, like, quote unquote AI apps out there, right?
There are, yeah.
For different things. Like, some of them are for image, like creation, and some of are focused on language models. There's different ones.
That's right.
Yeah, so I have played around a little bit. And I will say, I was actually not at all impressed with some of the image stuff out there. It was just, it just didn't at all impress me. I don't know. I wasn't at all impressed. The language models, those were a little bit more impressive, I think. And it seemed like it had They both potentially have like use cases, right? So like real world applications that they could be applied to, I think. And it'll be interesting to see where, you know, how companies adopt some of that.
They're definitely use cases. I mean, there's people who are using ChatGPT, for instance, to do everything from write an actual computer program to writing an email that they're going to send their boss, or writing up an essay for a school assignment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so effective, it has already been banned by the New York City School District from any school computers. They don't want kids going in there and hammering out their writing assignment in 60 seconds, you know, or less.
You know what? This is kind of funny because it kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, back in school when, like, certain technologies were sort of new, I think, like spell checkers and things like that. And it's like, you have to learn how to, like, I don't know, like, use a dictionary to look up words and things. And okay, that's great. And I'm not against teaching kids how to use a dictionary. But, like, at the end of the day, it is a lot faster to, you know, look it up on, like, a device on how to spell something, or right click.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, and I'm thinking back in, like, the early 90s before, you know, computers were so prevalent. But it was just the idea that, like, somehow you can never use technology to advance or improve something. And it's like, and nowadays it's like,
that's the whole point of technology,
right? Like
save time.
We all rely on spell checks, you know, spell checkers and grammar checkers and, you know, all sorts of different tools. And it's like, I understand. And I'm not like arguing that like people, like when you're learning something, like you shouldn't understand the concept, but like if you're writing a program, having a tool like some sort of AI, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Like it's just what it does is it saves you time. And a lot of like programming, like I remember programming like for in college for classes, assignments, and these programs were really, really, really lengthy. They weren't really that sophisticated.
Yeah, what if you could tell?
It just took so many hours because of how detailed and complicated they were.
What if you could just tell an AI to just, you know, what the parameters are and write me a program, and then boom, there it is in, you know, 60 seconds or less.
Yeah.
That can happen now.
You can,
it's crazy.
You can learn the concept without having to spend 8 hours writing a program is what it comes down to. And I was just always like, I don't know. It was just like, oh man, this is just a waste, such a waste of time.
Yeah. That's going to start to change real fast.
Yeah.
So the number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. We're going to get into an interesting case about the recording industry or the motion picture industry going after a technology provider, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. But I did promise the DeSantis attack on Disney World, an update on that story here from a conservative website. So, of course, they're probably going to be cheering him on in this particular case. But those of us who actually believe in property rights and free markets, which, of course, conservatives would like you to think that they believe in, but then they go on and they cheer this kind of thing. So here's the story. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has stuck it to Disney by finally seizing control of what was Disney's self-governing district, and informed the company that it has to pay $700 million in debt and start paying taxes. The governor, who has a long combative history with the company, took control of the Reedy Creek board on Monday. Quote, Florida is dissolving the corporate kingdom and beginning a new era of accountability and transparency, said DeSantis's press secretary to the Daily Mail. What all that poppycock means, I have no idea, because, you know, it sounds to me like Disney's going to start paying taxes, which means if you thought it was expensive to get a ticket to Disney World already, the price is going to go up, because now they're going to have to pay insane amounts of taxes, right? Like, I mean, we have our little houses, and I think I have to pay, too much here on this property. I can't imagine what the tax bill is going to be on Disney World and the surrounding various different, they've got like neighborhoods that they run, and there's like all kinds of things on that property. The Daily Mail reported, quote, DeSantis will also rename the site, switching its name from Reedy Creek to the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District. A new bill was proposed by Florida politicians Monday, which would give the governor full control over the district and the ability to appoint the 5-member board of supervisors that runs the special district. The nominees would then need to be confirmed by Florida state senators. The proposed legislation would keep in place Reedy Creek's obligation to almost $1 billion of outstanding bonds. The five-member board is elected by residents of the district, with Disney essentially running the district as its own government. With the new rules proposed, if passed, no one who has ever been affiliated with Disney would... I don't know if they wrote this correctly. It says here, no one who's ever been affiliated with Disney would not be allowed to serve on the board.
That doesn't make any sense.
I think they mean anyone who has been affiliated with Disney
right.
would not be allowed to serve on the board. Quote, these actions ensure a state-controlled district accountable to the people instead of a corporate-controlled kingdom, said the governor's deputy press secretary. It's already accountable to the people before all of this because the people can choose to not go to Disney World.
And it actually is even more entertaining because the way Disney actually has control is by not having residential like property in the land that Disney controls.
I'm pretty sure they have that.
It's something like that.
I'm pretty sure there's houses there. There's houses that's on that property that in many cases house people that work for Disney.
I don't know all the details, but
it may not be zoned as residential or whatever because it's a special corporate property, live there.
All I know is that the way like Disney sort of has control, like they passed laws, but the way Disney retains full control is by not having nobody can vote in that special area that Disney has. And the way they can maintain that is by not like allowing people to maybe it has to do with owning property or something, but that's my understanding of it. I mean, if somebody wants to call in and correct us, or if you want to look it up, go for it. But
it does claim here in this article that the board of Reedy Creek was elected by residents of the district.
That doesn't sound right.
And Disney runs the district as its own government. Of course, they're almost all Disney employees.
The whole point of that whole setup was so that Disney controlled the laws and the rules of the two counties.
Right. Disney does the power. Disney does the fire protection. Disney has all of that stuff in hand.
Right.
And it's like these conservatives want you to believe that they care about free markets, but yet this was a great example of a private town, basically a privately run corporate town.
Oh, you know what? I'm probably mistaken about the way I'm explaining it. It's probably Disney controls who is allowed to vote based on owning 100% of the property. It's probably something more like that.
Sure.
So I'm probably explaining it a little bit wrong.
If Disney doesn't rent to you, then you're not a voter.
Yeah. If you don't vote the way Disney wants you to, you don't get to live on Disney property.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something more like that.
It's a corporate town. You know. I mean, of course, it's going to be a corporate run system, and it's like, okay, don't live there.
Yep.
You know, you could go live in Orange County or whatever the other one, Osceola. I forget which one. There's two different counties that this place is part of or was part of before they carved it out in like 1960 or whenever it was. There's just not really any history in this particular story, but we did talk about that previously. So it has been this way for decades. It has been fine for decades. And then just because Florida, or rather DeSantis in this case, decided he wanted to, you know, signal to his followers, you know, essentially it's... What do you want to call the opposite of wokeism? It's whatever the right-wing alternative is. What's the opposite of wokeism for the right wing? Right-wing wokeism. What is there a name for that? Because that's what this is. This is DeSantis showing how conservative woke he is, and he's going to go after Disney because he doesn't like what they're saying.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Another high-altitude object that flew over American airspace was shot down by the military early Friday afternoon. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the Department of Defense tracked the object over Alaska for 24 hours.
The object was flying at an altitude of 40,000 feet and posed a reasonable threat to the safety of civilian flight.
He said President Biden ordered the military to take it down. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman is being released from a Washington, D.C. hospital following a health scare this week. The Democrat said he felt lightheaded during the Senate Democratic retreat Wednesday, with a spokesman saying tests showed no signs he suffered a seizure or second stroke in less than a year. President Biden is sitting for an interview with Fox Soul After All, which is geared towards black viewers. Fox said there was some initial confusion, but he will be interviewed ahead of the Super Bowl on Sunday. Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Join us. Maybe you want to weigh in on the Disney versus state of Florida. Disney versus DeSantis, specifically in this case. Although he's not alone. He's certainly being backed up by the Florida legislature in their attack against the private property of the Walt Disney Company that for decades has owned and completely operated a fairly large swath. I don't have the number of acres in front of me, but it's big. Of land there in Florida. It's larger than Disney World. There's also some, you know, places where people live there. There's hotels. There's all kinds of stuff. There's swamp that exists in this area. It's called the Reedy Creek area, which they're now renaming to the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, as DeSantis and his cronies in the state of Florida are just snatching this away from Disney World, something that they've had control over. And, Chris, you did some research there during the break just to find out exactly how this thing was operating. Now, all this is going to be subject to change with the pending legislation there. But what was happening as far as the board of directors or the city council or whatever you want to call it there?
Yeah, so I'll read this off. My I think the way the article is written was not quite accurate, and neither was my full recollection of what it was, but it was sort of a little A, a little B being correct. And
this article
incorrect.
Is highly biased. It's a conservative news site.
So a 5-member board of supervisors governs the district, And that is elected by the landowners of the district on a 1 acre per vote basis. But basically what that means is Disney has control over the whole area.
Right. So they elect the board.
Right. The majority of land. So this is what it says more specifically. And we'll clarify everything for us. As the majority landowner in Reedy Creek, the Walt Disney Company thus essentially handpicks the members of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it happens. Yeah. That's how they do it. Instead of residents voting, it's the landowners that vote.
That's the way that some people would say voting should be, right? Because the landowners are the ones that have the skin in the game. The landowners are the ones that have actually made an investment in any given area. So it's an interesting setup. And it worked for decades. Worked fine.
It's an interesting question of, like, how would a system like that work? Like, in the sense that what constitutes land ownership, right? Like if I own, I don't know, a foot by a square foot, right?
That's a good workaround.
Right? I mean, does this actually have a real impact, or is it?
Well, maybe a vote should be weighted then, if that's the case. So the more land you own, the bigger your vote in that case.
But then, of course, you also have the other aspect of this is, let's say you went with that, right? Well, then you have basically the top 1% having all the power. And then they can make laws favorable to them that effectively take away the money from you and I, and we're paying the taxes, and they're not paying anything because, you know, the vote's based on who controls the land.
Yeah. Well, of course, this is why there shouldn't be any taxes at all.
I agree.
No control. Agree. But now Disney World is going to be subject to taxes where they haven't been. You know, one of the benefits of having their own property that was exempt from the various different Florida rules and regulations was that they didn't have to deal with the taxes. They took the money from their park revenues, issued their own bonds, built their own, you know, things like power stations and fire stations and that kind of thing. And now that's going to be taken out of their hands. According to the story here at conservativebrief.com, Jeremy Redfern, the governor's deputy press secretary, is claiming that the state-controlled district will be accountable to the people instead of a corporate-controlled kingdom. Now, I understand that what he's doing here is he's trying to position corporations as bad, but of course what he wants you to ignore is that the state of Florida is also a corporation. So you are just moving from one corporate control to another corporate control. But the difference is the first corporation, the Walt Disney Company, is a corporation that you are free to avoid. You do not have to buy their products. You don't have to subscribe to their internet, streaming television service. And you don't have to go and visit Disney World or Epcot or MGM Studios or whatever.
You know what he should have? If Republicans actually cared about taxes, right, low taxes and all that nonsense, right?
They claim to.
Well, I guess I shouldn't say nonsense. I mean, if it wasn't Republicans, I wouldn't say it's nonsense. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, right?
They're full of it.
Right. If they weren't full of it, what they would actually do is take the Disney model and apply it to every one of us.
Sure.
So we would be the king of our own castles. If I bought a property, I control all the laws on that property. You can't come into my property.
That's what being a sovereign is about.
Right, right. They would simply apply the rules that Disney basically operated under to everything. Every privately held piece of land would be your own kingdom, just like Disney.
Yeah. This has to do with control. They want a tax, and they want a control. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious. That is the purpose. They're bragging that they're going to get taxes and that they will be running the Disney World property. So if they want to, you know, one of the nice things about owning the property outside of the Magic Kingdom is the roads that are moving cars onto the Magic Kingdom property are nice. Like, they're nice roads. If you've ever been to the Disney property, you know that even if you're not in the park, you're still on their property, and it's like, pretty sweet. They keep the roads in good shape. Well, now DeSantis and the other cronies can let them be just like the rest of the roads in Florida and, like, you know, possibly in bad shape and make it more difficult for people to get to the parks and things like that. Who knows what they've got up their sleeve that they're going to try to do. And this is all because Disney is quote-unquote woke. That Disney is, they have a particular political viewpoint, and they may very well. I mean, there's a strong argument for that. Okay. I don't have to buy their DVDs. I don't have to buy their online streaming service. Like, I don't do that stuff.
I don't either.
You know?
this is kind of the funny part of this. Like, we're looking at it from a perspective that isn't, like, left, and it's not right. You know, we're not conservative. We're not liberals here on this show. And, you know, but yet we can see the political nonsense about the way Republicans and Democrats buy votes. They buy votes. This is what they're doing. The guy is buying votes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pandering to a particular political demographic. He knows his audience. He knows that these people don't like Walt Disney right now. It's unpopular to amongst the conservatives to like Walt Disney. He knows Florida's turning into a more of a red state. There's been an influx of people that have been moving down there, and he's playing the tune, right? He's the fiddler, right? He's playing the tune to the rats. He's hypnotizing them and getting them to do things that they purportedly wouldn't agree with. Like, if you spoke to a conservative and you didn't mention anything about Disney, and you just asked them about, you know, are you against high taxes? Are you against government regulations? Are you in favor of free markets? A lot of them would say, yeah, they're in favor of free markets. Yep. They're against high taxes. They want small government. And then if you ask them in the next breath, how do you feel about Florida taking the Disney property back by force? They'll probably cheer it on. They'll probably say, yeah, that'll show those woke liberals, because they don't actually believe in free markets. They only believe in freedom for their friends. They only believe in freedom for the people who believe what they believe. Yeah. Those other people, they need to have the boot of government crushing their necks.
All he's doing is he's using politics to attack his enemy.
That's what they do, right? That's
politics. I mean, this is just, it's so obvious from an unimpacted, like, perspective that isn't biased towards either of the two, you know, the two-party system. But most people, they don't understand that there is, like, a third or fourth or fifth option. You can have other philosophical beliefs that don't align with the liberals or the conservatives.
Wow. It gets worse here. So the legislation that is being proposed right now would give the board members of the Disney district term limits and would place the governor in charge of picking the board members. So it's not like the residents are going to get to vote for these people. It's not like there's
going
to be some...
We're going from one dictatorship to another dictatorship.
Yes.
This is supposed to be better.
No. Well, I mean, that's what they want you to believe, right? But no, it doesn't make it any more accountable. If anything, it's less accountable through this system. It would also place Disney as responsible for $700 million worth of debt, so that it does not become the responsibility of the state's taxpayers. In May, while speaking at Seminole State College, DeSantis reiterated his promise that Florida's taxpayers will not take on Walt Disney World's debt when and if the Reedy Creek Improvement District dissolves in 2023. He said further, some legislative measures will be put in place to prevent that from happening. Quote, I can tell you this, that debt will not end up going to any of these local governments. It is not going to go to the state government either. It is absolutely going to be dealt with by Disney and the other businesses that are currently in that district. Okay,
this
fine.
You know what this is so similar to? It's socialism under, you know, like Venezuela, right? Mm. You know how Venezuela basically nationalizes, right? Socialists, they like to nationalize business, and then those businesses go under.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically the same thing, but coming from the conservatives. They're trying to say that we're going to take money from Disney, right? But we're not going to pay for the roads that... you know, we're not gonna pay for these things. We're just gonna take money from Disney. And it's like, well, okay, so how does this work out if it's no longer of interest to Disney because you've taken the money and the government isn't gonna maintain the roads and isn't gonna maintain the infrastructure? Well, what do you think Disney's gonna do? Disney's gonna leave.
Well, that seems unlikely.
Well,
I mean, the idea that Disney's going to, even after all this abuse from the state of Florida, the idea they're going to pack up.
It depends on how bad the abuse is, right?
Right.
If the abuse is bad enough.
But you do make a good point here, and that is that Disney paid, let's just use their number here, $700 million, right? Like, they're in that, there's that much debt, there's bonds on this property to build roads and power structures or whatever, right? Like, this infrastructure of running this town that Disney owns. that was invested by Disney and their bondholders. And so now Florida, it's not wrong per se for Florida to say, well, Disney, y'all incurred that debt. You got to pay for it. But what the wrong part is they're stealing all those assets from them.
Right.
So Disney incurred the $700 million worth of debt upgrading the roads or doing whatever, building parks or whatever they're doing.
With the expectation that they could return a profit from that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they're going to take the money, if the government's going to take the money, well, what incentive does Disney have to invest in the property that they can no longer profit from?
Well, not only are they taking the assets, right, because they're taking the entirety of that, I guess they're not going to take the property, but they're going to tax it, right?
Presumably they're not actually doing it to such a degree that it's going to make Disney unprofitable. Mm-hmm. But if it is, I don't know what the numbers are, but if this were as bad as full nationalization, right? You could have partial nationalization, but yeah, it's not. But if you nationalize it sufficiently, you will undermine the entire town and area. It's a really bad idea.
What else does he say here? He says, we're going to have a proposal that will make sure that's clear. He wants the state to assume control of the Disney-dominated self-governing body, which has run the Orlando area theme parks for over 50 years. So the question is, what is going to happen to the roads? What is going to happen to the things that aren't, quote-unquote, the park, right? Because Disney had, did they actually own 100% of the land? Or, I don't know all the ins and the outs of. So there's this board of directors. They have some level of control over this, what's called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. And so what does that mean as far as the pipelines, the sewage treatment plant, Are those going to go to the state of Florida, or are those still going to be Disney operated, but now Disney just has to pay property taxes on them?
Basically, okay, so the way I'm interpreting this is we pay property tax, right? But in return for those property taxes, the government maintains the roads and the sewers and
poorly, but
they do, right? Yeah. Sounds to me like the state of Florida is going to take money,
mm-hmm.
but not provide those services that we normally get for our taxes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's sounding like.
Yeah.
DeSantis wants the state to assume control of the Disney-dominated self-governing body, which has run the parks for over 50 years. He said, most likely, or rather more likely, that the state will simply assume control and make sure we're able to impose the law and make sure we're collecting the taxes, he said. Democrats in the state have attacked DeSantis for going after Disney, claiming the dissolution of the district would force county taxpayers to foot the bill for more than $1 billion in bond debt. But DeSantis' plan alleviates that concern. He said, first of all, it'd be a cash cow for them if they had Disney, referring to the counties. But I'm worried that they would use that as a pretext to raise taxes on people when that's what they would want to do anyway, and then try to blame Reedy Creek. So we're not going to give them that opportunity. So it sounds like what he's doing here is a cash grab for the state of Florida.
Of course, that's exactly what it is.
But so he's saying specifically he's going to keep it out of the hands of Orange County and whatever the other one is, that they won't be able to get any tax benefit from this Disney-fied area.
No.
But Florida's just going to snatch it all up for themselves.
He wants it in the state budget so mm-hmm. he can pay off his friends
buddies.
And bribe his, whoever he needs to bribe to remain in power.
That's it.
And not allow the local politicians in the counties that this is in or borders or whatever to gain a tax revenue from it.
Incredible.
Which would then actually be used to some degree, probably, to pay for things like schools and roads and other things.
Thursday, the governor called for a special session of the legislature to finalize procedures ahead of Disney's special tax status coming to an end in June. The GOP legislature voted to strip the company of its status last May, which is probably the last time we talked about this, after the then CEO publicly opposed Florida's parental rights and education law, which banned schools from presenting LGBTQ curriculum to K-3 students. DeSantis told a news conference, quote, we're not going to have a corporation controlling its own government. That's what he said. And he said further, the state's going to have a board to run it, so Disney will not have self-governing status anymore. We're not going to bend the knee to woke executives in California. All about signaling and all about money and taking that sweet, sweet property tax, whatever that's going to amount to.
Yeah.
And putting it right into his coffers in the state.
And the thing is, like, okay, so here's the thing. Let's back up a moment. I am super critical of Disney. I mean, look at the choice of words I was using earlier. I think I used it on the show. Copyright cartel. Maybe
yeah,
I didn't.
That's
on the,
part of that.
But I certainly use this word all the time. And what does that mean? What is copyright cartel code for?
Mm-hmm.
It's code for Disney. It's code for effectively.
They're one of the major members of it, at least. Yeah.
Yes. There are like six or seven major entertainment companies in the United States.
Sure. And they've been getting bigger and more consolidated over the years.
And they control all the media, basically. All the movie productions and, you know, all that, right? And Disney is one of them. And the Disney controls the federal government to a significant degree, and I'll give you guys explain what I mean by this. So every time copyright has been extended, because originally most people don't know this, but originally copyright was created under the argument that it was a limited time monopoly. Monopoly is literally in the word for copyright.
Mm.
Okay, for a limited time monopoly. For the benefit of the to promote the arts and sciences for the benefit of the public. And basically what that meant was the limited time monopoly would result in people having like scientific and artistic production basically, like more of it, right?
Supposedly.
Right. That was the argument. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the question is, if you continue to extend copyright to what it is today, and by the way, they extended it from like 7 years to
like 75 or something.
20? No. It happened over many occasions, but 20
it's up
years
to that now, right?
It's over 100 and something like 7 years, and that's actually like on top of, I believe, the life of the author, but it's like even longer for corporations because there's no human life.
And Disney's been lobbying for this, right? Because they want to protect Mickey
Every
Mouse.
Every time that Mickey Mouse is about to expire, the copyrights on it
extends.
Disney has gotten a federal law passed through bribery or lobbying at the federal level to extend copyright.
Wow.
To protect Mickey Mouse.
Wow. Let's go to the phones here. Neil is in Arizona. We'll talk more about the copyright cartel coming up here in a moment. Neil, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. How the heck are you doing tonight?
What's on your mind, Neil?
Hey, well, first of all, that's not what I called about, but I lost all my respect for Disney probably 25 years ago.
What happened?
They changed, you know. They lost Walt Disney and Disneyland, and they used to be about the love of family and children and Annette Funicello and all that. And I mean, you can see how much they really don't care about the average family by looking at how much they just charge the average family to get into their park.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's the one thing that you can't say Disney is bad at is marketing.
Sure. No doubt about it. They've built a brand, and it's very effective. But, I mean, is it possible that Walt wasn't a good guy either and that maybe you're just, you've got these rose-colored glasses on for past Disney?
Even if he was a good guy, he certainly the people who control Disney now are not.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know Walt, but I did know Annette, and she just had nothing but love and respect for the man's morals and the way she was treated all the time that she worked for him.
Okay.
She said he was a wonderful man.
Fair enough.
But actually what I was calling about, and I wanted to get my 2 cents in on the Disney Corporation,
sure.
but out here where I live at, where I listen to you at, you know, I listen to you on KTOX radio. Next Monday, we want to play an episode of Love American Style on there. And for that, we need your help. We need to get Sarah on our show out here because we've got this guy that calls into our station that is the alter ego of Sarah. His name is Ed from Needles.
Okay.
And we want to get them on the radio together and see if we can get them hooked up.
You mean like as an item? Like dating?
Yeah. Yeah, they deserve each other.
Well, I mean, maybe you can. She does currently have kind of a boyfriend, so I doubt you're going to be able to woo her away. But it is...
I'm sure you can offer her a little bit more handouts.
what do you want me to do? Try to give her your phone number or something?
Yeah, I'm sure she'll call in. I don't care if you have to do it on the air, whatever. Give her my phone number, and I'll give her a day and a time to call into KTOX, and we'll get Ed on there, and it should be interesting. But, yeah, that would be great if you could help me out.
All right, well, I made a note of your phone number here, Neil, and if we get the chance, we'll offer it to her, okay?
Okay, it's always nice to help out one of your affiliates.
Thanks, Neil. I appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for the call tonight. Yeah, I'm not gonna. Normally, I'm not gonna play matchmaker here on Free Talk Live, but y'all make a special exception for Sarah.
Yeah,
she's a special lady. That's the story with the Disney thing. I think we've covered it pretty effectively here. It's really sad, though. I mean, and I doubt we're gonna have any conservative types call in to the show tonight to defend this. I mean, because it's indefensible from the perspective of what should be the conservative support of markets, right? Because supposedly conservatives like you to believe they believe in free markets. And we know that's not true because we know they're in favor of drug prohibition. We know they're in favor of restricting the prostitution market and gambling. Just all these things that they don't like. Oh, well, we don't need a free market in those things. Well, okay, well, then you don't have a free market. Well, okay, well, we don't like Disney's viewpoint on things, so we don't think they deserve to have a free market. Oh, okay, so I see how it is. So only the people who agree with you, only the people that have the religious viewpoint that you have, that have the, you know, cultural perspective that you have, only they can have a free market, huh? What a load. I mean, why anybody thinks this guy, this DeSantis, he's been calling it the free state of Florida. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
That's laughable.
It is laughable.
Wow.
But the sad part is people believe this dude. They heard that they heard somewhere that this guy didn't require masks, even though he did lock down the state and he did, you know, crack down when it came to COVID.
I certainly heard about the lockdown or the lack of a lockdown, I guess.
Well, no, they did have one. They did.
That's true. They did.
And
they
then he reversed course.
Right. Right.
He reversed course because he's a politician. Well, he's a snake.
What was interesting about Florida, though, the lockdown of Florida, was it was like 1,000 times worse than anywhere else originally. They actually stopped cars on the highway.
They did, yeah.
On
early
the freeway.
On. Early on, yeah. Yep. Trying to go into the state. Yep. They had state troopers there. We reported on that. But he reversed course and when he realized it would be more politically beneficial to him to take the other side. Because he's a snake. He's a politician. Yep. He's a slime bag. And he certainly does not believe in freedom, as proved by the Disney story, among others. Hour 3 is coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.